Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for coming. This is another reality show. Where am I? Who am I? This is another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and wow. You know, I know they say Rome wasn't built in a day, but boy, in simple 7 days, what we call a week, oh my God, so much can happen in somebody's life. You know, specifically I'm speaking of mine, but I mean, I know it's applicable to everybody. 7 short days since the last time we were on the air, and wow. I mean, things are happening very quickly, very dramatically. You know, and of course I'm going blank right now on everything I wanted to share with you. I think I have to start writing these things down because it's an interesting thing. Once I go live on the air, who's ever listening, it does seem like there's this a floodgate of psychic energy that comes at me, and I love it, but I tend to just, you know, I'm now speaking for all of us, and so it's almost like I have to, you know, take a few deep breaths and speak from a panel of 20 instead of just, you know, the four schizophrenic personalities that are living within my brain. But I did have an amazing week. A lot of shifting going on. Amazing things too. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. Me and my beloved sister Stephanie talked earlier this week about joining the gym and moving our energy, and to both of our wonderful surprise, we talked about it, and 3 days later, bam, we were at Planet Fitness today. You know, I'll definitely plug Planet Fitness. God bless those, that chain, because they're extremely inexpensive, and literally the motto that's written on the wall, Stephanie didn't even know about this, is that it's a judgment-free zone. Can that be any more in alignment with, you know, unconditional love and the ascension and unity consciousness? And it's a gym, you know, so they're you know, really quite affordable. And their motto is that, you know, they're not looking for people to feel uncomfortable about working out. They're looking for the beauty to shine and for people to feel comfortable. And I always say, if you're setting that intention, clearly, you'll manifest it. So I can't tell you. I mean, the gym is spectacular. I'm blessed. Stephanie is a professionally trained personal trainer. She is not presently working at a gym with anybody, but, you know, she has the wisdom. And so I got the gift that, you know, not only a workout partner, but a workout partner that really knows what she's doing when it comes to working out. You know, it's kind of like hanging around a gourmet chef. You know, you end up making more than just brownies. Anyways, I'm super excited about that. We worked out today. We did a little cardio, and it just feels fantastic to move my body. Because if you're living on the East Coast, or if you're living anywhere that you're basically were pummeled with snow this season, having and desiring the need to move, I'm sure is you're feeling it. I know I'm feeling it. So that was one thing. There was something else I wanted to talk to you about, and I wanted to share with you, and I can't remember. Oh, there is something that's coming up to right now, though. The Lisa Renee, the teleconference call from last night, she does it third Wednesdays every month. I think she's going to do it second Wednesday next month because they're going to a trip to Italy for the third week for the solstice. But the usual date is third Wednesdays every month. I highly recommend this woman's calls. She is on point. She is clear. She's concise. And she really can give you an update energetically of what is taking place on the planet. You don't have to be a member on her forum, on her website, to participate in the call. I believe the call costs $22 if you're not a member. But boy, it's the best $22 you will spend for the month to know what is happening energetically on the planet. And the beautiful part is I was on her call last night, and my guest tonight, my third Thursday, my new third Thursday guest, she's also got her finger on the pulse of energy and the ascension process and what's happening to us from a human perspective. So I'm just saturated with it. I love it. Okay, so we're gonna bring on Dawn in a few seconds. I just want everybody to take a few deep breaths, including Goldie. And invite in our essence to physically come into our, invite in your essence to come into your physical being. Let it know that it's welcome to be here, that you want it to be here, that you're surrendering any resistance and any kind of blockage that you're consciously aware of. Even you can even intend to release the blockage that your subconscious is running, and just let your soul and your essence join you, because what is happening on the planet right now, it's huge. I mean, there are huge potentials, and my understanding of this is basically it's going to affect people kind of dramatically in two ways. Those that surrender are going to just surf and experience this incredibly loving, expansional experience. And those that are holding on to the old ways and, you know, not, you know, resisting the changes that are happening, staying in separation, belief systems, are going to feel crushed by this energy. So there's no judgment. It's really choice. It's self-awareness. I have a feeling, you know, there's going to be a lot of us, if not all of us, that'll be kind of like in the middle, whether you're more in the middle towards the surrender or more in the middle towards the resistance. You know, the focus that I would invite you to focus on is if you're starting to feel really tense and like, you know, like the ceiling's coming down and the walls are closing in, deep breathe and just be in the moment that there's no planning with this. Just be in the moment. Surrender that you have any control over it, because you don't. But trust that what is happening, especially if you're inviting in your essence, but trust that what is happening is truly, I mean, this is a divine time for the planet. I mean, this is the greatest. We are experiencing firsthand the greatest show on earth. You know, let us not be confused. This is the greatest show on earth. And my feeling is for centuries they are going to refer back to this particular time. The next 2 years, 2011 and 2012, will be remembered for centuries. And my friends, we're living it. You know, not only are we living it, we're living it. We got a front row seat, you know, because my audience is pretty much working their consciousness. So we have a front row seat to the greatest change that mankind has ever been through. And that's, you know, that's big. That's big. It's big enough that, you know, if we go through some aches and pains to get there, it's worth it. In my opinion, it's worth it. And again, if you choose to step out of body at, you know, anytime soon or otherwise, there's no judgment on that. You will experience it through the non-physical. I'm not quite sure how that happens, but I know that everybody's going to experience this, whether they're physically in their bodies or not. So with all that being said, and yeah, I do like talking about this stuff, let me introduce my wonderful, fabulous, beloved sister and friend and mentor and life coach, Miss Dawn Leader. Welcome to the show, Dawn.
Hi, Goldie. Good to be here.
It is good to have you here because, my friend, there is a lot of stuff going on. Oh, where to begin? Well, first, you know, what do you have anything you'd like to share that's going on with you, or, you know, as, you know, I can ask you a question, or if you have someplace you want to kind of, you know, a diving point you want to jump off of, and I'm open to either.
Why don't you ask a question, and we'll go from there.
Okay, one of the things that I have been noticing a lot lately, in Facebook, but not just in Facebook, even in my personal life, is synchronicities as well as a word that I believe Bashar coined, telepathy, which essentially just means instead of telepathy, which is kind of like reading each other's thoughts, telepathy is about reading thoughts and feelings. So it's more of a full packet, so to speak. You know, it's got more senses going on. Lately on Facebook, there is a tremendous amount of this going on from my experience. People that I'm, you know, I'll befriend them, you know, one day, and within hours we're having synchronistic experiences, kind of reading each other's minds and thoughts, and, you know, it's becoming noticeable. I mean, it's a noticeable connection that I have as well as the person and people that I'm having it with. And, you know, I have my opinions on it, but, you know, what I really love about you is that you have the ability to see energy. So I'm wondering, can you share with me and the audience, like, any changes that you've seen energetically lately, or, you know, the reference that clearly, since we have passed the marker of 2011, things got even more amped up. So any information you can share on that, you know, amping would be awesome.
Well, immediately what, you know, it feels like is that more than ever, you're having a desire to connect with people of like mind and like heart.
Yes.
And so when you're creating this community in Facebook, you're drawing into you similar beings who have similar interests. So you're on the same wave of energy.
Okay.
And so you are vocal. You know, you and I have talked about this. You're a broadcaster, not just because you're in radio, but love to vocalize. And so you love to express yourself through Facebook or through the radio or through conversations with people. And people are drawn to that who have similar, you know, ideas and thoughts. And so this community is being built to have similar experiences and move in similar ways and support one another in, you know, this moving, this shifting, this awareness, this growth, if so to say, and it strengthens everyone's awareness, and there becomes this cohesiveness, which then filters out into our communities, our physical communities, because I know you have Facebook friends all over the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you're strengthening this, these ideas, you know, you, Goldie, bring awareness to things that resonate with you through Facebook, and other people say, yes, I resonate with that also. I have a similar experience. Yes, we are on this similar wave of energy. And then physically, you bring that back into your physical communities, and it's now like you have a code of energy that is emanating into your physical area. So you not only are creating this community through Facebook, you're now also starting to create these communities in your physical locations of like minds, of like things. And this is how we get to critical mass. You know, this is how things shift and change and how it grows. If you look at, I've been hearing, and feels right to me, that a big part of why Egypt was successful in what they were doing was because they created awareness through Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. They all shared their desires for change through Facebook. And there became a big enough community that look what's happened there in the last, you know, few weeks.
Yeah. Well, you know, Obama also credits Facebook with his election. That, like, the grassroots of the people that were doing his promotion or whatever they call it, you know, when you're in politics.
Social networking.
Exactly. It was happening through Facebook, which is, you know, there really is, there's magic in Facebook. I mean, it's literally, you know, it's almost like it's become an energizer for that which, for change. It's an energizer for change, a social
absolutely.
Network.
Absolutely. And the thing that's so powerful is it's connecting people. Think about, you know, think about a couple hundred years ago, right? We've got Pony Express.
Right.
And it takes how long to get a message from Connecticut to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
By Pony Express. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I would say days, if not weeks. Right.
You know? I'm sure it's at least a week, right?
Yeah.
And now, you know, we connect in so many ways, not just Connecticut to Wisconsin, but Connecticut to Greece or Connecticut to Europe or, you know, Connecticut to Hawaii or
to anywhere.
Know, wherever.
It's in anywhere. It's literally like, it almost is like the whole, it is genius. I mean, he was voted Times Man of the Year, and clearly, you know, you can see why. You know that a 1/12 of the population is on Facebook, a 1/12, which I believe, if I'm correct, a 1/12 of the population is actually critical mass.
Right.
You know, so.
You know, and not much more than that even has access to computers.
Right.
Because of, you know, being in all the indigenous people and, you know, those kinds of things where technology is not as available
utilized.
Yet.
Well, but I would say that they have other technologies, so to speak. You know what I mean? Meaning, and I know you feel this way as well, that the indigenous are almost the ones keeping the frequency, and now we're just figuring it out. The ones with the computer are actually behind the ones in the, you know, the indigenous are going, they've been propelling this ascension, so to speak, and this whole awakening of the goddess energy, the heart, you know. Giza is the heart chakra of the planet. God, there's so many things I could, you know, my mind is going in 1,000 different directions. It's like, okay, hold on, you little ADD-er. Just let's tell a single story. So we'll stick with Facebook. So the indigenous, it's almost like they've known, and if you look at it, you know, there was the indigenous of Australia, of America. You know, it seems like every continent had indigenous. And it's almost like they were communicating from, like, their etheric bodies. And what Facebook has kind of brought it into is now it's in the, what's the system called? The circulatory system. You know what I'm saying? It's now, it's
right.
In our blood now.
Right.
It's more physical. Then that's why things like Facebook are producing physical presidents, physical, you know, where people are changing governments in countries. You know, this is the physical, where the indigenous have been holding it, you know, kind of in the etheric or the astral plane or what, I don't know the details. So even though they don't have computers, it's almost like, but they're the ones for the last 500 years when, you know, humanity's been killing each other over God, holding the presence of, you know, when the prophecy is ready, you know, we're gonna go through a golden age and you know, a mass awakening.
Right. Absolutely. Because, you know, the indigenous, they are communicating with us and with others already in different ways. And so
yes.
there is a guidance system already involved
yeah.
with them. And so that's what Facebook yes. has become, is a guidance, possibly for some, a discernment tool for all of us, a you know, freedom of speech path like none
yeah.
we've never had before.
Yeah, definitely.
And so there's a lot of, you know, awareness to be had through this technology. And you know, if we all were completely enlightened and ascended, we wouldn't need Facebook because we'd be doing it.
This is true.
Through what? How would you say that? Telepathy, all the time.
Telepathy, exactly.
You
well,
know.
And what's interesting though, it does show up in, you know, like you know, and I love it because it is absolutely intentional, and it is utilizing, you know, law of intent of attraction. You know, it's becoming so tangible in my life. You know, there are times I'll hear people say, you know, how are you so spiritual or something, you know, kind of like the reference of, you know, like they're spiritual on Sundays when they go to church. And I look at this at this point, you know, there's nothing in my life that is not spiritually influenced. Because, I mean, spirituality is not just about meditating. I'm starting to learn that spirituality, I'm going to actually say it this way, I'm starting to remember that spirituality is really about frequency. It's a physics. I mean, there are physics to spirituality, and the physics is basically virtues. The virtues have power. And I don't mean power over, but virtues have the ability to awaken DNA. Virtues have the ability to coagulate groups of beings. You know, it's almost like my level of awareness is that as soon as I shifted my awareness, because I remember wanting to get on Facebook at like 4 o'clock in the morning when I had an insight one morning, saying, if you're intending to build things of the physical, whether they, you know, relationships or careers or buildings, literally, without balancing that with virtues, it's like that's, you know, it's like there's a part of the building that it has no substance to. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when The Secret came out, they were all talking about, you know, how to manifest a red Corvette in your driveway, which, you know, red Corvettes are wonderful, but a red Corvette is, you know, most people want it. Why do you want that? So you can show up your neighbor? You know what I'm saying? Or it's like, I'm having trouble getting this out, but for me, I realized that my real strength and my real confidence, I mean true confidence, started coming in when I shifted my focus outside of the physical and into the internal. And ironically, my finances are, you know, much better. I mean, am I living where I completely don't worry? No. But I worry less because the virtues that I've focused to create in my experience, you know, which are, you know, security and trust and compassion. And, you know, I apply them to outside things, but my goal and my understanding is the real gold in life is the inside work. That's what's going to take us into this new age. What are your feelings about that?
For me, spirituality is a way of being, a way of living.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's always choosing alignment. And I don't necessarily even think about the virtues necessarily. I think because they are already part of me and the way I choose to be.
Mm.
You know, so that it's just you know, it's kind of like if an acorn falls from a tree, it chooses to turn into a plant, or it chooses to not, and to you know, be, lie on the ground. And right. If it chooses to become a plant, it's just natural in the way it grows.
Right. Well, yeah.
And
well, you know,
so
what you know what's
has
so funny?
Happened right. With the humanness,
okay,
is there's been so many people telling us how to grow.
Right.
And so it is, for me, it's about feeling in my heart what I'm in alignment with and what is right for me.
Hmm.
And so it's not, I don't know that I would really even apply it as inner work, but as, you know, this beautiful unfolding of me becoming more and more of the truth of who I am.
Right on. See, I love the idea. See, you're in your heart. I mean, it's one of the things that I absolutely am drawn to. you live from the heart wisdom. You know, there's like heart brain, and your wisdom is clear. You know, you really, your words, it's almost like they're enveloped in a frequency because it's heart brain. I'm still brain heart. You know, clearly my heart's been broken, so therefore I know it's there. And I think the journey to get to where you are, at least for me, is through the virtues. Just saying, because there's a lot of us that are, you know, I don't know if there's a name for us, and I'm not trying to, you know, label indigo or otherwise, but it just seems that, like, I'm wired differently in my head, but nonetheless, the journey of my experience, for me, my desire is to experience it from heart brain, not brain heart, because I'm starting to realize that, okay, so the brain is wired differently, that's irrelevant, because it's the heart's wisdom that is all what, I mean, it's about multidimensional, it's about eternity, there's no judgment. You know, it seems like all the pieces are already in place when I come from heart brain, where when I come from brain heart, it's like that's when it has to be, you know, the lessons have to be taught through pain. When you come from heart brain, you know, it's almost like it's not pain, it's just that's compassion, or that's acceptance. You know what I'm saying? It takes on a whole new flavor when it's from the heart, and you eloquently stated that. I seem to be tripping over my words tonight, which, that's, okay. I want to ask you another, or if you have something more to say, please.
Well, my sense is that we don't always, and it took me a while to get to this place also of trusting in my heart.
Yes.
Right? So we had been taught, you know, to think about things logically through our brain, right? And because if you're too emotional, that gets in the way of what logically should be right.
Right.
You know, right? So we were taught that.
We were taught that. Not right, and, though. That's not right.
Right. Right. And so it's really, you know, finding in trusting your own heart and to be able to trust your own heart, you need to come to a certain level of self-love and compassion for self.
That is the journey, though, isn't it?
It's an allowing and an accepting and referencing, always referencing, when I choose from my heart, I'm right. Rather than when I choose from my mind, I'm right.
Right. And it really is. It's the difference between, in my personal opinion, war and peace, you know, and pick any polarity. That, you know, the head sees what's wrong. The heart sees only what's right, because that's all it knows is what's right. It's always, and right isn't even a good word. It just knows it's the pure acceptance of what is. Just pure beingness, pure and total acceptance. And, you know, it's not even about forgiveness, because it doesn't blame. You know, it's almost like it's the alchemy of the unification of all the polarities. You know, that's what, you
yes,
know, it's like this wonderful,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just hit me. So, yeah.
Yeah, the polarities dissolve.
The polarities dissolve, exactly. And it's actually a third, like, stream of consciousness. You know, it's not right and wrong, just, you know, or up and down. It's actually, when those are alchemized, it's actually a brand new experience or dimension or, I don't know, or stream of consciousness. You know, it's like, I remember when Tobias used to talk in the channel, he used to say, you know, when there's collisions, and he was like, a collision doesn't have to be something that happens with, you know, force and power. A collision can be extremely graceful. When there's a collision of, like, say, a 500, you know, he just used numbers to explain it. If 500 on this side and 500 on this side, when they collide, that doesn't equal 1,000. That equals a number that's so big because it's actually a new energy. It is not the same energy. It's a completely new experience that has potentials way beyond the original 500 on each side. You know, and that's what kind of, you know, that's what we're living through right now. Kind of amazing, you know. Because I'm feeling a sense of some of the people that I talk to on Facebook that they're exhausted. You know, they're exhausted, and when is this show going to end, so to speak, or when is this party over that we can go back to the way things were, on, you know, in the sense of where I can just feel relaxed, and it's like, it's never coming. You know, this is the new way of being, and what's so interesting is what, you know, what you're saying, it's a very natural way to be. It's just we've been conditioned out of natural. So, you know, we're getting turned, you know, like outside in and up and right side up. We've been, you know, we've been so backwards for so long. It feels uncomfortable going through this change, but it's really very natural, very organic, where what we're changing into. You know, we're getting the balance back of the female energy, the goddess energy, and nothing could be more natural than that, even though, you know, in our paradigm it comes across as creating a lot of chaos because we've lived without it, you know, artificially, of course, but we have lived without it for so long.
Sure. And you're right. I you know, there's so much happening that I understand the exhaustion. I mean, I have that in moments also. Mm-hmm. Because there, you know, for me, you know, I feel, you know, the chaos of what's going on in the Middle East. You know, at some level, that's occurring with inside of me also.
Well, everyone.
And everyone, right. And so that is old, old paradigms shifting and changing.
Right.
And so, you know, it is... you know, big things that are happening. And so we need to allow ourselves to move through this with ease and grace and do things like, you know, we are not used to doing. I can remember a couple years ago, I was seeing an acupuncturist and she said to me, your life is, you know, high energy, and the work that the corporate world that I'm in and the energy work that I do, she's like, you need every afternoon to take a 20-minute nap. And I was like, oh, right, you know, what, I'm at a corporate job, right?
Right. They're not exactly promoting Yeah. Well, actually, in Mexico, it's siestas. So, I mean, in some cultures they do, and, you know, but not America. Right.
Not America, right? And so,
right.
So I had to go, oh, my gosh, you know, why am I not honoring this, right? So
yeah.
Every afternoon I would close my door, and I didn't always nap, but I at least went into meditation.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, it made
awesome.
a big difference for me. And so that's really what I'm feeling is necessary right now, is that if you're feeling tired, you know, big work is happening. And when I've coached people before too, when you're doing big work, you have to be connecting at a different level with Source and recharging yourself multiple times a day in order to be able to do that.
Can you share, I realize there's millions of ways, you know, per se, but can you share one of the ways or a couple, you know, any kind of techniques? Because there are people in their head going, how do I connect into Source? How do I do that?
Well, you know, meditation techniques or going outside for a walk and connecting to nature, going and standing next to a tree and allowing yourself to connect with the roots going into the ground. I'm amazed, you know, the snow is just melting here. We just, you know, a week ago had, you know, a foot and a half of snow on the ground, and now we hardly have anything. And I'm looking at my maple trees, and they're already getting buds.
Oh, wow.
And,
really?
Yeah,
at the very
tops. It's like,
nice.
Wow, you know. So the trees are already awakening.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, and this is the time when they have this amazing, this is, you know, like maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
The trees will already have given their syrup, their sap for the maple syrup by now.
Oh, wow.
And this is the sweet, juicy, luscious time of the year for trees when they're you know, their juices have been dormant and they're starting to flow and they're starting to waken up, and it's sweet. And so to be able to be outside, like you were saying, you guys out on the East Coast just have gotten slammed and haven't been able to get outside very often. But,
right.
You know, go in your backyard and stand
yeah.
next to a tree and feel it awakening,
yeah.
you know, and connecting with that sense. You know, sit in your home, in your office, and just, you know, allow yourself to open up to the earth and to the sky, and step outside and feel the breeze and allow things to move and flow. Get in water however you can, whether it's wonderful soaks of, you know, baths with salts, or if people have the availability to swim or whatever. Any thing to connect with the elements or the sun. You know, for me, like just a half an hour before I got on the show, I'm outside walking the dogs, and this gorgeous golden moon is out there.
Mm.
And, you know, just pausing to connect with that energy and allow, you know, that heart space to be shared. So
beautiful. Because you know what I notice? When I speak to people who are in heart space, there's a depth that, like, to everything you were just saying. When you were talking about the maple syrup, I can taste it while you're talking about it. When you were describing being in the water, I could feel, you know that feeling when you're in a beautiful, whether a hot tub or, but actually not a hot tub because that has the jet streams, but like when I'm in a hot bath and the water's still and it just wraps around me, you know, it's womb-like, you know, W-O-M-B. It's mm-hmm. like there's just this
right.
sense of, you know, it's almost where I imagine space would be like if I could breathe without oxygen. Where it just wraps around you this velvetiness because when the water is like almost at the same temperature as your body, or, you know, when you go into that space, it's almost like you and the water become one. There's no difference. There's no boundary between me, the water, the time. You know, it's like, I remember when we all went swimming with Almeen in Tampa. And, you know, I was dealing with my whole phobia, which, of course, wasn't even there at that time. I remember the water was just, it became one with me. You know, it's like, it's not I'm in the water. It's like me, the water, and the air became essence. And when you speak, I feel that. I you know, I'm experiencing what you were saying. And, you know, it's almost like I can feel, I can shut my eyes and get the breeze. And, you know, I think, and I feel, this is what, you know, being is about, being with nature, not going to nature looking for it to give us an apple or a tree. It's like, for so many eons, we've gone into nature and, you know, literally said, you know, give me. And nature provides. I mean, look around your house. Everything you got is nature provided. But this shift is, you know, really about the being is about, you know, it's not, there's nothing to do, but there's everything to experience in beingness. You know, it really is a very different way to experience and express and receive than the doingness of the mind. You know, there's so much more feeling and depth and, I'm rubbing my hands.
Yeah,
texture.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's, I can remember several years ago, I was learning a process called Menzin, which is a Burmese way of meditating, utilizing like a river rock. And one of the masters, you know, was looking at different river rocks and things like that. And I, you know, I'm into stones and I'm into crystals and stuff at the time. And I love when they talk to me. And I said to this master who I knew practiced Buddhism, but I wasn't that familiar with it. I said to him, I said, when you're connecting with that stone, you know, what are the messages that you receive or you're giving? And he said to me, he said, it's just allowing us to be one.
Mm.
And that totally changed, because for me, I always was, you know, looking to crystals to provide me with something, right?
Right. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, or stone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm attracted to, you know, just regular old rocks or stones as you're walking along paths and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
It was like, oh, you know, what's the message, you know? And it was like, oh, I started practicing. Okay, I just want to become one. Well, then you do receive the messages, but the messages are part of you.
Exactly. It's the rock aspect of you.
Yeah.
Coming online. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And so it is a really different way of being. I mean, my whole life I've loved nature. You know, my whole life as a kid, you know, my parents are fighting or I'm getting yelled at or whatever. I'm going out and I'm walking in the woods because that was my, you know, my release or my safety place or whatever,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
And so my whole life I have wanted, you know, to be out in nature and connecting with nature. And you know, probably for like the last 5 years now, it's different. When I'm out there, it's an honoring of, you know, this, we're all one, we're all part of this together. And from that place, then you're more conscious of how you want to be treated and how you want Earth to be treated.
Mm-hmm. You know, there really is an understanding that as we have these experiences of being, you know, we are microcosms of planet Earth. We
absolutely
are. Because one of the things that Lisa's teaching me is, as the Earth is going through her transitions to ascend, all of the memories that are stored within the land, we're feeling. We're feeling within our being because we are the land. They're really, it looks different. It looks like, no, you're a person and you're a rock. But, you know, as this whole conversation has kind of been taking us, well, no, the rock is a part of us and the dirt. And so everything that was ever done to the planet, we're feeling. Now, like you, I have been grateful to Mother Earth my entire life. I mean, I have, the animals consoled me. When my mother died, the trees consoled me. I skipped rocks on the brook in my backyard. I climbed trees as a kid. I mean, I was a tomboy. There was, you know, I had to be in dirt, dirty, rolling around in it, sliding in the mud. I loved it. And now, the gift that, you know, all, so many of us, especially the light workers, star seeds, indigos, who really did get their nurturing from our mother, Earth, not, you know, our parents might have, you know, fallen a little short. You know, we love them, but, you know, they were still humans going through the same trials and tribulations. It's now, you know, we are becoming consciously aware that we're the stewards of this planet. And we are the stewards of the rocks and the air, the elements. And we're not the stewards because we're higher up, or we're the stewards because we are the four elements, the air, the rock, the water, the fire. You know, that is who we are. And, you know,
sure,
those of us that are awakening, there's such a sense of gratitude. I'll just speak for myself. I can't be more pleased to know that what I clear in my being, I clear in Earth. You know, and it's not an easy task clearing, you know, because I tend to focus, my energy tends to clear emotional stuff. That's part of my wiring, is I interpret the world emotionally and I can clear the things emotionally. You know, it's not something I need to learn how to do. I am it. And I'm so grateful to be it because, you know, I've never really felt, you know, I've always just felt misplaced my whole life until now. And, you know, I wrote a thing recently on Facebook, a post where, you know, I don't own anything but a car. I'm not in a significant relationship. I mean, I have significant friends and, you know, I have people that I love and adore, but there's not the one, quote unquote. You know, in the American dream, everything that the American dream says I'm supposed to have, I don't have any of it. And yet, for the first time in my life, and, you know, 45 years and counting, I feel so confident that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Doing, being, and expanding in exactly the time frame I'm supposed to be doing, being, and expanding. I have never felt so in sync with life. And, you know, it kind of cracks me up because I'm in sync and, you know, 6.5 billion people aren't. I'm never with the groove of, you know, the majority. You know, it's a funny thing. But I'm at least in the space where, oh, this is why I'm here. Now, let me ask you a question because, you know, you're an expert on some level. You can see DNA, and I get that, you know, DNA, there's many ways to interpret and to view. But I've worked with you where, you know, you start, you know, bringing in colors and, you know, you're tickling certain strands. My DNA does, you know, it's turning on. It seems like there was dormancy, you know, and the only reason why, because it's not like, I mean, I've changed, but, you know, it's not like, you know, I didn't turn into a rose, you know, I haven't turned into a hawk. But can you help me and the listeners kind of understand what's happening from a DNA level right now? You know, I don't know if I'm even asking that question correctly or... Because it does feel like something's happening.
Right. And I guess I'm just going to say that the DNA that I see and that I work with comes directly from source at this point in time.
Okay.
In the past, a lot of my training in that area has come from other physical earthly teachers,
okay,
who develop programs from some different secret society or mystery school trainings.
Right.
For several years, I was even, you know, guided by some guides from, you know, the Pleiades. At this point in time in my existence, the work that I do with DNA comes directly through me, through source, so from my direct source connection. And
okay,
my sense of what is happening is there's this expansion of awareness because our DNA is multidimensional.
Okay.
And so, you know, there were, you know, most people talk about 12 strands of DNA. A lot of people talk about 24 strands of DNA. Some even talk about 48 strands of DNA. And some of the top teachers are starting to talk about even more strands of DNA. And my experience is that those are multidimensional strands.
Yes.
And so as we're expanding and shifting our vibrations and our awakening and lifting our veils to our source connection, we can start to access and harmonize strands in these other multidimensional ways. And Earth has those dimensions also. And so as Earth is shifting, you know, its vibration and its lightness, its moving into harmony, people humans are also awakening to these processes, because like we spoke before, there is Earth in us. There's
right.
universe in us, right? Or it's not just limited to the Earth, it's limited to the universe. Or not,
which
not
is
limited.
Indeed. So we are also the DNA of the Milky Way galaxy, Andromeda, Sirius, Lyra. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That is all aspects of self, and each and every one of us. Okay. I'm glad
absolutely.
You brought that up. Okay. Yes.
So as all of these things are awakening, and as, you know, there's, you know, critical mass and, you know, mass consciousness, awarenesses, there's the ability to make shifts like we talked about with Facebook, right? There's
right.
more of this information being shared, not only through Facebook, but through YouTube, through people's websites, you know, through Skype, through all kinds of ways, you know, technology ways of sharing this information to create more familiarity and awarenesses and choices to align, right?
Yes.
And
yeah.
And thus we stimulate the movement, and we all know that, you know, according to the Mayan calendar, and we can all tell it ourselves, things are faster now than they used to be. I mean, just by having Facebook, things are faster than they used to be. By having these cell phones that are not only a phone, but they have internet connections and
yeah, exactly.
calendars
exactly.
and, you know, applications and all of this stuff, right? So we know that everything appears to be speeding up. And so thus why we need to be shifting DNA. And as this is happening, and new things occur, we're just going to talk about Earth because this is where we are here right now, and most of us can relate to.
Right.
As things are changing on Earth, things are changing in our DNA. So last week, when all of a sudden there's a new government structure going to be implemented in Egypt, when there's been an uprising, you know, a desire to say, I'm not going to live under suppression any longer, everyone's DNA gets affected.
Right.
And so strands are triggered, you know. All of a sudden there might seem like there's a short, or another strand might seem too bright. And so it's important to be harmonizing these strands. When I first started learning about DNA, it was like, oh, you just, you know, reconnect these strands and you never have to do it again.
Is that what it looked like, disconnected strands? I'm just curious because I don't see them.
Well, that was originally what happened when humans fell from the grace of God, from the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
The thought process, the belief, or the program that's been taught out there is that 10 strands were disconnected. So most humans lived with only 2 strands connected.
Okay.
Okay. So your 12 strands that everyone knew you had, you only utilized 2 strands.
Okay.
So years ago when I first started doing this work, you were just reconnecting the 10 strands to the original 2 strands and harmonizing those. And
okay.
then all of a sudden it was, okay, now there's 24 strands, so now you're going to reconnect those. in the last year, what I see is as Earth is changing, as all of these shifts in consciousness are happening, lots of different strands are affected. And also, we go through lots of different life things. It's kind of like our energy bodies, right? If at Christmas time you go to the mall, what happens to your energy body? Unless you're totally in a meditative state when you walk into the mall, all of a sudden you start to feel a little agitated, right?
Yeah,
or most
absolutely.
People do anyways,
right?
Right.
So, no, definitely.
You
don't even have to go to the mall. It's so in our consciousness now. I feel the agitation in my own house around Christmas time.
Sure.
You know, basically after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. Or you go to, let's say you go to a rock concert.
Okay.
Right? What happens to your energy body at that rock concert? You know, it depends on the group. It depends on if you like the band. But
right,
definitely
right.
Things happen, right? So
right.
How can we not think that things aren't happening to our DNA all the time? Their energy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Exactly. Okay, right.
Right?
Well, and I just want to kind of put something in, and then I want you to continue. Don't lose your thought. I just want this for the listeners. The whole idea of going from doing to being is something the DNA knows how to transition, and that's why it's the DNA is shifting. The DNA knows how to be. When we were two strands, we knew how to do. Going into 12 strands, all the tools, all the pieces are in us. It's happening naturally. So I just want people to know that, you know, because some people are like, how do I know what to do? It's like, you'll just know. It's in you. You don't have to learn this. It's just getting turned on. You're just going to know because it is you. Okay, no, keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's a really great point to make because it's a little bit like, oh my gosh, you know, why am I tired?
Yes.
Well, you know, your DNA is shifting. Your DNA has been affected by, you know, this event. Our DNA was so affected last year. Let's talk about some of the things that happened last year.
Okay.
Major, major earthquake in Haiti.
Yes.
BP oil spill.
Yeah.
Chile earthquake. Tsunamis.
Yeah.
Mudslides. Volcano eruptions.
Yeah.
Earth's DNA is majorly transforming. That's all inside of us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's just Earth.
Yeah.
Okay? There's, you know, it depends on how planetarily you're connected to. There's stuff happening there.
No, but right, like
or
there
the
are
sun.
Things happening. Yeah, the sun, which is very much affecting us. Yes. Okay, I'm glad you
absolutely.
Got there.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes.
You
yes.
know, the sun with the solar flares and, you know, the eruptions and that kind of thing, the energy that is happening from that is, you know, just amazing. And, you know, it's
tremendous.
And so I believe it's really important. I, you know, I'm hanging out with different people and they'll be like, so Dawn, what did you think, you know, about how did you feel from that, you know, that solar flare or whatever? And I'll be like, oh, well, I just went inside and I looked at my DNA and I just, you know, had to repair this strand or that strand and, you know, harmonize and, And then everything's cool. And they're like,
well,
oh.
Right. You're in harmony. Exactly.
And
well,
they're always
think,
like, can you teach us how to do that? How do we look inside ourselves? And I'm like,
yeah, well,
okay,
indeed.
I'll,
talk
I'll
about that.
And, yeah, I'll like, I think you really have to be in, you know, in your heart space and really in the place of being to allow yourself to access that. Mm. And so it is a matter of opening that heart space and having the self-confidence and the self-love and the compassion of self to open up to those places.
Absolutely.
You know.
Because I do believe that at some point we're all going to be able to do this.
Right.
You know, because you won't go to doctors to heal, because, you know, what most people don't even realize is when we go to a doctor, the programming is the doctor heals us. I mean, that's an illusion. You can't give your power to the doctor to heal your being. All healing is self-healing. You know, it's like, you know, there's so many subtleties in how life changes when our 12
right.
strengths. Cause, yeah, go ahead.
It's, you know, you go to the doctor and bring yourself awareness
mm-hmm.
because you can't look at your own DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And then choose, oh, am I alignment with what this doctor says or not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you are, you follow his treatment plan or her treatment plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, you say, well, they're a quack. I'm going to go to the naturopath. You know, I'm going to go to the acupuncturist. I'm going to, you know.
See, I mean,
I'm not going
to
buy
into
that. You
have to admit, Western medicine is clearly at this point looking more like a business than it is like a healing space. I mean,
sure.
I think, because all you have to do is look around and see how we're being bombarded with, you know, the whole pharmaceutical gig to know that, you know, I mean, my cousin who's a doctor, he actually quit his practice for like 3 years because he was really frustrated about the HMO was ruling, it was telling him how he would see a patient. I mean, my cousin first became a doctor, he would have his patients in there for like 3 hours. You know, he was he was a healer. You know, all he wanted to do was heal. And then as time went on, he really saw that it became a business first.
Hmm.
And healing was just, you know, if it happens, it happens, but we got to push the products, we got to push. And
mm-hmm.
he was so offended by that, you know, that he left medicine for like 3 years and did a spiritual journey, you know, I mean, and I give him a lot of credit because his anger was so, you know, he used to come over here for Thanksgiving and just erupt in these rages. And I'd look at him, you know, going, you know, is that your bedside manner? You know, is that, you call yourself a healer, you know, Jesus, Joe, you're just raging. And then, you know, to his God-given credit, he worked on himself. You know, he really said, healer, heal thyself. And he took the journey of the wounded healer and started healing himself. And, you know, he's back practicing now. And you can tell there's a neutrality about him. But his genuine kindness, his genuine of how he has alchemized his own being is, in my personal opinion, probably doing more for his patients than his prescriptions. You know, because the ability to heal is almost congruent with the ability of, not the ability, but with the amount of DNA that you have active in your body. You know, because I go through transitions, but I haven't gotten sick in a very long time because I reconditioned my belief that I don't get sick anymore. I transition. I clear. Now, that's not to say I don't get fevers and I don't get, you know, sinus, you know, gunk in my nose and I don't get headaches. I just don't label them as me being sick. I have defined that as the changes going through my body in order for me to become, a 12th dimensional being, which is my, and I correlate DNA with dimensions. That's my learning. So, you know, it's like, so when you're not sick, I don't run to the doctor. I would go to a doctor if I had a broken arm to set the bone and, you know, things of that nature. But, you know, I've been diagnosed ADD and bipolar and manic depressive, you know, and I'm like, you can diagnose me all you want throughout my life. Just there won't be any meds. You know, Goldie doesn't do meds. And I'm actually starting to learn now through Lisa that even plant medicine, which, you know, in the case of ayahuasca, marijuana, that's actually deterring. Not necessarily the ayahuasca. The ayahuasca is more about opening me up and having the potential of having beings that I'm not welcoming into my experience, especially since I've started coming off the grid. But the pot is dulling senses that are inhibiting my ability to ascend, my ability to sense these dimensional experiences that will come naturally as I activate my DNA. And, you know, I'm coming to the conclusion that, you know, it's my last addiction. I'm letting it go. Because, you know, I'm really in this for, I'm dedicated. I want the ascension. I want it for the planet. I want it for myself. I want it for humanity. And, you know, the information is kind of, it's time. It's come to me that, you know, it's, because I used to say, it's all pharmaceuticals, you know, go natural. Go natural, because it would just relax my energy. And relaxing my energy is a good thing, but I'm realizing now that's really, you know, another term for not feeling. And I can't go through life anymore not fully feeling. If I want to do this ascension, it's full throttle. I have to feel all of it. And so, you know, that's my declaration. I just found this out actually last night on Lisa's teleconference, which of course is humorous because I have money down. I have a deposit to do two nights of ayahuasca. And I actually meditated on that last night and this morning and got that. My understanding is as I'm coming into a 12-strand DNA, I don't know if you've gone through this, but the awareness that, you know, there are beings and entities in the cosmos that, you know, don't come from love and aren't necessarily looking for humans to evolve. There are entities that truly utilize our staying in the third dimension. And, you know, the way Lisa describes it, I resonate with, in that, that it's not a judgment, but I am awakening and I choose sovereignty. And in order to choose sovereignty, it comes to me clearer more and more that you go through the things in life that at one point might have said, you know, I might have said, no, I don't need to feel that. I'll just go sit by the tree, smoke a bowl, call it a day. But, you know, we're in 2011 and there are some forerunners that are saying, you know what, we're going to come off this grid of, you know, some mind-bending things, and I'm not going to get into it right now. We'll pick our time. We'll pick and choose that when we decide to talk about the whole agendas and all that kind of stuff. But I have committed to doing this, and in that commitment, I am now, you know, saying, I think I'm going, you know, the fact that I'm saying it on the air, definitely, you know, that I'm going to let go of that and just start every day, you know, literally, that's it. You know, I don't do cigarettes, and I don't drink. No ayahuasca, you know, I'm going to just feel it all. You know, know, and call Dawn up and go, all right, we need to work on my DNA.
Well, you know, it's amazing because I would say about 3 years ago, I, for the most part, gave up drinking. I once in a great while will maybe
right.
still have a glass of wine.
Right.
However, it doesn't necessarily align with me.
Okay.
I believe it's because I am, you know, I am in that heightened state of connection where, you know, I can get a greater high from that than I ever could from anything else.
Oh, wait, a greater high from what? From drinking?
No, from being connected.
Oh,
from
so
being
you're
in, my
in
heart.
Alignment with, oh, no, then I, so you're in alignment
yeah.
with that, yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Lisa,
yeah. Like,
yeah
really?
Totally,
no, you're not
totally.
In alignment with, oh, okay, indeed. Well, and
totally.
She said,
you know?
Because it's, if you're using anything.
It's not a judgment. For me,
it's
not,
not
a
judgment.
Judgment. It's like,
but it's an
it's
illusion
like
to think that you're
whatever
getting there.
They want.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know, listen, these choices are going to be made individually and personally for everybody, if and when they're ready. You know, I'm ready because, you know, one of the things that I'm learning is that what's happening on the planet, the energies coming into the planet right now, are tremendous. I mean, we are talking, you know, Lisa was basically like, Egypt is the heart chakra. Well, it's already started to happen that all over the planet, there are going to be vortexes of heart chakra energy all over the planet. And because everything's awakening, the whole planet's awakening, it's no longer seven chakras, we're becoming a unified field, and in a unified field, there's not one area where this happens, it's a radiance and an illumination that is, it's part of beingness. And I'm wired, I'm already preset wired to feel this influx of energy as long as I don't by my free will or even my conditioning, dull that sensation. You know, it's like, I mean, at 45, I really have lived the life of, you know, been there, done that with the whole drug and alcohol gig. I mean, I've been there, you know, and I loved it. It's at one point, drugs saved my life because I wasn't ready to feel or know that which I'm ready to feel and know today. I mean, it was a journey to get into this awareness. And in that awareness, I just like when I quit smoking cigarettes, I have no negative feelings about those people who smoke cigarettes. In fact, there's times I can walk by it and go, oh, God, that smell. It doesn't even bother me. You know, it smells good, and I don't even crave. It's just one of those, you know, it's a burning leaf like sage or, you know, anything else. It's just it's an aroma that it doesn't offend me. You know, if I'm in a very smoky room, you know, that kind of bothers my eyes and stuff. But, you know, just as the smell of a cigarette, it's like, oh, I remember that. And, you know, it's all good. It's all good because I really, you know, I do want to stress that, you know, part of being a broadcaster, like, you know, you were saying, is that just listening to the show, you know, we're broadcasting these energies. You know, Dawn, me and you are what we call acupressure points for this. The energy is actually grounded into the earth from frequencies such as me and you. So it's actually,
sure.
We're broadcasting it just in our beingness.
Sure.
And, you know, and I, listen, with great responsibility comes, you know, believe me, when I first heard it last night, it was like, what? I'm not going to do ayahuasca? Oh, come on. You know, I mean, like, you know, cheesy and rosy. But the truth is, my commitment to do this is no longer a choice. My DNA is telling me, let that go, just because of what you just said, because the experience I'm going to get in quote-unquote in sobriety, which is almost a mockering, there's nothing sober about the divine goddess and prana and all that running through your being. You know, it's as magical as any magic mushroom or ayahuasca, if not more so, you know, because it is direct from source, and you know it. You know,
right.
You don't even come down, right? There's no, you don't crash from anything like that. You're just really in a wildly positive, confident space.
right. And it's, you know, it's, wow. It is. It's like my son, who's not, you know, very awake. I mean, I've exposed him to a lot of options and beliefs and things like that. And so he's, you know, he's a baby on this path. And he's in his early 20s. And he, several years ago, said to me, and I just love this, especially, you know, because it was like, oh, out of the mouth of babes, right? He would say to me, Mom, just make sure you're not driving drunken empowerment.
Ooh.
And I went, wow.
Yeah, that's deep.
You know,
exactly.
You know, because that's the truth. I wouldn't say it's drunken, but it is empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is that connecting to that truth of self and allowing yourself to be empowered by that truthful connection. So,
you know, and once you go divine, you never go back. You know, this is really, it's I'm ready, you know, and it reminds me of like what Almeen, you know, used to express in her meditations and stuff. Every layer there's challenges, you know, every level, the next step. For me personally, I'm inspired by the challenge. That's part of what gets me going. And I believe that's a trait of an indigo. You know, because I would get complacent, you know, if there was no, you know, something to, you gotta, I don't want to say overcome, because this isn't about overcoming. This is about allowing a shift to happen into me that I know intuitively, but I'm not experiencing yet in my physical world. It's almost like I'm being prepared in my dream state to live it in my waking state. And what's going to happen is when I live it in my waking state, it's going to make the dream state and the waking state really, there's not going to be a whole lot of veil in between that. You know, it's consciousness. In other words, there's no more subconscious consciousness, superconsciousness. It becomes one consciousness. That's it. It's all self, you know,
right.
And it's all divine self. You know, this is not the self we've been taught, but the real deal, I am God, I am sovereign, I am free self. You know, that, you know, the big kahuna.
Yeah. Did you ever look at the Ringing Cedars series, Anastasia?
No.
I finally just started reading them, and I feel like I've already read them before.
Okay. Yeah.
And I haven't. although lots of people have talked to me about these for years. And a lot of what we're talking about is what is in these books. And this is in Siberia. This gentleman, you know, was a merchant and rented some boats to, you know, go sell his wares and trade wares or whatever. And in Siberia, there are these cedar trees that grow for 500 years. And then they, when they've matured, and they are galactic conduits.
Mm-hmm.
And they, when they've matured and they're ready to share with beings on Earth, with humans on Earth, they start to ring. And they ring for 3 years. And if they aren't cut down and shared with humans in these after 3 years, then they die a slow, painful death of 27 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
So there's this woman who has, she was basically born, her family, you know, lives in this area, and she was born and she was basically raised by nature.
Right.
And so all of these things that we're talking about are, you know, go back to the indigenous ways, right?
Right.
Of being in harmony and connection with everything. And
yeah.
And so in this book, she talks, Anastasia talks about how she utilizes her ray to connect with people and give them suggestions. So it's, you know, it's like those people, those of us who have connected with angelic beings or, you know, masters or guides or whatever we want to call them.
Right.
It's like she's living in Siberia and she connects with those who are seeking information or ways of being, and she helps give them suggestions. And
wait, who is she giving suggestions to? I mean,
well, she talks a lot about what she calls the, I think it's, I don't know how you say it, Dakniks, which seem to be people who are interested in gardening, is because I'm only in the beginning.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Of,
okay.
You know, the book.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like she's a living guide, you know?
Okay, because would she, in other words, you're saying the trees are talking to her, so to speak, as well as other beings, and she's talking to the people who are interested in being with the trees or plants, or when you say gardening, the plant
right, telepathically, though.
Oh, not in groups in front of her.
Right.
Oh. Telepathy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've got to check these books out.
Yeah. No, I know. Liz, I'm trying. But I will. You know I will. It's just got to.
I know.
It's like that time.
I'll be sharing with you. Because
there you go. Exactly. And,
I mean,
you know, maybe when you're done, ship them. Throw them my way. I'll ship them back. It's just I got, you know, I mean, it's not like I'm not reading. I'm figuring out my galactic stuff right now. But I'm always interested in the tree stuff. I really am very,
well,
which is why
it's the way she lives. It's really the way she lives, you know, which
yeah.
is way beyond the way I live, And it's where I feel like I'm moving towards, you know?
I think it's where we're all moving towards.
You know, she's totally supported by, I mean, squirrels bring her nuts to eat, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know?
She's one with everything.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And she sees the you know, and we're not going to go into that tonight because we'll leave that for another show, but you know, she sees too, like you said, how there are energies that persuade humans to be differently.
Yeah.
And
you know, at some point we are going to go there. Okay. Because indeed, there's an awareness that needs to be, no fear, but I get that we got 24 minutes left and when, but you know, cuz I see it on Facebook all the time, you know, that I know there's a level I'm just coming out of it. You know, I was like there's nothing but love because the truth is I'm everything there is in the universe. Well, that's what you are, you know, up into your third chakra. You know, once you get into the fourth chakra and you become multidimensional and you go beyond planet Earth, that's really what it is. When we go beyond planet Earth, there are beings that, you know, really just don't want us to ascend. And it's not because they don't like us personally. It's because they forgot their own God consciousness and had, you know, some genetic, you know, upper hand, so to speak, on us, and basically took advantage of the quote-unquote two-stranded humans and said,
mm-hmm.
Well, they don't know that they're 12-stranded, so why not utilize and basically live off of their energy?
Right.
You know, 'cause, and what, the thing that I can totally understand this for, look what we have done to the Earth based on the same exact principle. But the thing is, I'm starting to understand it from the top down, so to speak, which is we did that to the Earth because we were manipulated. If we were fully conscious, we would have never done to the planet what we did. And so then it comes to the other side, which is, What we did as humans, these wars that we've had and the way we treated the planet, that's not a human attribute. That is an alien attribute that has been, you know, kind of constructed and literally written into the script without us knowing it. But we're coming out of it now. But, you know, part of, I think, my show, I remember when my show was here to talk about the awakening and, you know, I talked about being on a spaceship and, you know, going to the chambers and having experiences. I'm starting to realize now as an awakener, you know, or somebody on the awakening path, it's time, because this information is going to come out, that people understand that, you know, We have been controlled by another species, but not to be afraid of that, just to be aware of that, because in the awareness of it, as our 12 strands come back online, truly being sovereign is going to, it's just going to be the next step. It's not, you know, we can get pissed off, so to speak, that, you know, maybe things were controlling us, but we didn't even know it. So why get pissed? That's the way I look at it. You know, listen, if you're fooling me and I don't, it's like a magician. You don't get mad at a magician for doing tricks. And then once you figure out, oh, that's an illusion, well, then you just simply don't fall for the trick anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
Right? Because That is kind of where we're at consciously. And how do I know that? Because I'm the broadcaster. That's where I'm at. So you know what I'm saying? Life is telling me that's what I'm starting to talk about. That's why my third Thursday is somebody like you that's, you can see the DNA. You are gentle in your heart. In other words, I can kind of come in here kind of like, you know, good cop, bad cop, so to speak. You know, I'm brazen. Yeah, you know, I'm the bull in the china shop. And dawn is this beautiful, you know, wind-swept breeze. And I'm not saying you don't have, you know, you're not tough, but your toughness is your wrath. You have the wrath of the lamb. You know, you're a deer. Your truth and your presence is your gentleness, and that's what we're coming into. That is our sovereignty. That is what protects us. Not right and might, but truly sheer knowingness and isness. And you exude that beautifully, so.
Absolutely. And always coming from my direct source connection.
Which is
you know, which is my God self, my goddess
Indeed.
Self.
Indeed. Source.
And source. From source, yeah.
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 Yeah, it's awesome. I'm telling you, I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be amongst the people I am amongst, so to speak, you know, my peers and my friends and the people I share, you know, intimate experiences with, and here I am. You know what I mean? Like, we're on the cutting edge of human history. You know what I mean? Because once you start getting an awareness of it, it really does, you know, kind of like, you know, you just scratch your head and go, wow. You know, because look at it this way. What do you think they felt when people on the planet realized that the Earth was round and not flat? You know,
right?
How did humans experience, you know, because you look at that from, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the Earth went from a piece of paper as an actual way that they believed it was. It was flat, and if you got to the end, you fell off. To this full spherical went from two dimensions to three dimensions. Now we're going from three dimensions to multi-dimensions. You know, it's very similar, even though it's the next level, but what was Earth like when we just found out that? And it's like, the way to know, as we become multi-dimensional, I think we're going to experience those memories. And by experiencing those memories, they're going to apply to us being now 12 strand and 12th dimensional, kind of, so to speak. And personally, from someone, I'm a true fan of human behavior. I just am fascinated with human behavior, and I have been all my life. I've always liked to people watch. I haven't always liked to be a participant in human behavior. But as I've gotten older, you know, it really is just the greatest show in the cosmos, us. You know, the little blue planet right there, third from the sun.
And I would throw out there that, you know, it had to come to the point of mass consciousness believing that there was roundness instead of flatness.
What do you mean?
The roundness to be created.
Oh, really? Do you feel that?
Yes.
Interesting. Well, it clearly shows up in experience that way. So wait a minute, though.
Right.
But nobody could ever fall off the planet. I guess you could clearly drive off a cliff. You know, you just wouldn't fall off the planet. You'd still land back onto the planet, but at the, you know, the bottom of a cliff.
Sure.
Interesting. So wait a minute. So do you believe multiple dimensions are being created as we are beginning to believe multiple dimensions exist?
Yes.
Nice. And you know what,
because
the best part
is? When I first started on this journey, you could, you know, and people talked about, oh, maybe the 13th dimension. But mostly people talked about something less than that, right?
The fifth dimension.
And you even,
yes.
Right, the fifth dimension, right?
Yep, yep.
I can remember, you know, it's not that long ago where all of a sudden, you know, last, I can't remember when that was, December or something, or last fall, sometime, whenever, when we were working, when we had that show with Grandma Chandra.
Okay.
And I said to her, I said, I heard that this, you know, the art piece, the sigil that came through was
right.
coming from the 54th dimension. And she said,
right.
absolutely. And I went, I didn't even know there were 54 dimensions. And
right.
there's more than that, you know.
Well, it's infinite. Right. Dimensions are experiences. They're, I believe, a dimension, time, and space are synonymous. But that doesn't mean they're all equal in how they're experienced. In other words, time can be timeless as much as it can be, you know, time can be, like you were saying, back in the day, for an experience to evolve, like a message to be communicated, it could take weeks. Now it takes an instant. There are places where, well, I won't say it's an instant because you still got to hit the send button. Some places it's simultaneous, where thought and receiving is happening simultaneously. And I do believe actually on some level that's happening on our planet cellularly. I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, verbally, and, you know, we still, like I said, we're still hitting the send button at this level of consciousness. But,
well,
like,
I could say if you're in tune, it is. Look at what happened to me today. I'm driving along, and all of a sudden I'm seeing hawks, and I think about you, and all of a sudden my phone buzzes, and you send me a text message.
Right.
So if we are paying attention...
Okay, there you go.
To our environment, the messages are there. The, you know, the instances are, the simultaneously are happening.
No, namaste. Indeed, good point. That's a good point. Because, right, it wasn't, the technology delivered the message, but you got the message when you saw the hawk and were thinking about it because, you know,
right.
that's, it, no, indeed. Indeed. Well, have you ever seen, like, the, whether it be Junvalo McKiesel deck or, you know, some of these shows where, like, they'll show these ancient Mayan or, you know, the African, what, Dogons,
mm-hmm.
where they'll show rooms, you know, they're usually circular and, you know, very little is in the room as far as physical items are concerned. And they're like, you know, yes, these were the primitive places of, you know, this is where they would, you know, do their worshiping or, you know, whatever it is they were doing. And you know, they're always emphasizing it's primitive. You know, there's no tablets with writing and there's no mathematical equations. And, you know, primitive... you know, the timeline doesn't fit because they were telepathic and tele-empathic, you know, and they didn't need stuff to be, you know, building, you know, pyramids were built and there were no cranes. And these
right.
are structures that, you know, have clearly lasted the test of time. So, you know, it seems like this is, you know, part of the awakening is to understand things don't unfold linearly. Don't think because you see nothing that means they are less intelligent who was once there, because truly the ultimate intelligence is to need no computer and just directly link me and you with each other and communicate. Because that is absolutely a possibility as well as a probability the more this balance in the energy takes place on the planet.
Sure.
You know? So you end up needing less stuff and having more experiences, and clearer communications, and, you know, I just, you know, it's always interesting when you hear, you know, Western science, you know, find a find or a dig, you know, and they're like, oh, these were such primitive people. It's like, you know, no, they weren't primitive. They just needed, they utilized less of the earth and, you know, were more, you know, utilizing things like air and space and, you know, things of that nature. The etheric
right.
aspects, the non-physicals. So, yeah, you think we should, remember that thing I talked about earlier? You think we should go there, or? The pulse?
Sure.
Okay, well, I was talking to Dawn before the show, and it's so funny because I was like, oh, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about this, and we talked about it on the phone, and then, you know, we didn't really talk a lot about it on the show, which, I love it. I love that this show has become essentially conversations that I'm having with dear friends of mine on the phone, and, you know, 200 people are tuning in to listen to it. That truly is actually the way I envisioned, you know, back in the day before I had a radio show, when I would have conversations with friends and stuff going, oh, wouldn't it be great if somebody could just kind of tap into this and just listen and you know, explore. And I welcome people to call in, but I also understand that the topics we talk about are cutting edge, and, you know, many people kind of scratch their head and, you know, they feel it and they, you know, but they're not quite sure what to ask about it. And I honor it either way. But the phone lines are always open and everybody's welcome to join. But so I was thinking about Dawn today, and it was interesting because Dawn at one point in her spiritual journey worked with James Arthur Ray, right, the gentleman who had two people died in a sweat lodge in Sedona last year. And because Dawn had worked, you know, kind of on his team at one point, when I was thinking about Dawn, I just went to James Ray, and I was, like, in the car, and, you know, the baby was sleeping. So I was, like, you know, on my little phone that connects to the internet, and, you know, lo and behold, James Ray, actually, his trial for the two deaths that happened in Sedona started today. And so when me and Dawn were
three.
Talking earlier, I was like, yeah, what, you know, I laughed because, you know, I don't follow James Ray. I mean, you know, I remember when he was on News for the Soul and, you know, he was on Oprah and he was a very, very charismatic man. I could feel that. I mean, Dawn can definitely speak more about this. But I find it so interesting that today his trial starts and here I am thinking about him and Googling him and, you know, because from my perspective, it's like, well, look at that telepathy. You know what I mean? Like, wow, how interesting, you know, when you have the technology to follow through to know that something is guiding where I'm going and what I'm thinking, because I was actually concerned today that Dawn might not be feeling well to come on the show. And which is when she saw the Hawks, which is when I sent the text that said, you know, you're right, you know, you want to do the show tonight? And, you know, I'm fascinated with this because, you know, it's like 6 degrees of separation. Dawn is very connected, you know, actually with James, etherically. And, you know, it's just undeniable that there is a communication opening up to all of us. I don't know that everybody's utilizing it, but we all have the potential to just, you know, be one with, you know, 6 billion people on the planet. You know, What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I find it interesting because this was the third time this week that someone brought his name into my awareness. I was at the holistic vet the other day. And, you know, I mentioned to her that I was going to Sedona, and she's like, oh, are you going to do a sweat lodge, or are you turned off by, you know, the event from, you know, James Ray? And I was like, well, no, I'm not turned off by the event. And I do know James. And she was like, he's hot. Tell me how good looking he is, this person. No,
he is charismatic. See, I use a different word, but exactly. See, her word was a second chakra word. My word was a fourth chakra word. Well, but will you share what? Remember what you told me about? You know, right before the event happened. Can you share that?
Sure. It's...
Give a little background so they know.
Yeah, just a little background. I was introduced to The Secret, I guess about five and a half years ago. And within maybe a week or two of seeing The Secret, James Ray had come to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to give a free evening talk. And at that talk, he offers a really reduced price on his introductory weekend. And so went to that introductory weekend, and there were, I don't know, maybe 100 people at that event. And this was, like I said, right when The Secret first had come out, and so he really wasn't that well known yet.
Oh, I see.
And,
okay.
Right, the opposite. He wasn't really very well known yet. And, you know, then the next month we went to another event in Vegas. And at that event, I think there were 250 people maybe at that event. And 4 months later, we went to work as part of his team at an event, and there were over 600 people. So that's like how quickly
he grew.
And
he went viral.
Right. You know, he just exploded. And it's really fun when you're in tune with, you know, I guess with energy and that kind of thing. It was really fun for me because my lovely partner, Jeff, and I went to his first event, and it, you know, I don't know if maybe your audience has heard this term before or not, but we felt like we got downloaded with information that wasn't necessarily shared, but all of a sudden we had processes, we had techniques to help people and to help ourselves that weren't even necessarily shared. And one of the women in our area was really close with James. And so when we got back to the area, we kind of created like a harmonic wealth support group, which was, you know, his book and his philosophy on living, creating harmonic wealth, which is not just money, but it's, he has a five-spoked approach to wealth in all areas of your life. But and so we talked to her and we were like, well, this is the process we came up with from, you know, this weekend. And she looked at us and she was like, oh my gosh, you guys are just going to flip out when you get to the next weekend, because there's a process very similar that's shared at the next weekend.
Oh, nice.
So it, you know, at some level, like you're talking about here, the, you know, the telepathy or the telepathy, we were picking up on aspects of things. And so I do have this connection, or I have had this connection, and I have not actively worked with James or, you know, for several years now, but last, it was, you know, within a 2-week period before his incident that created, I believe there were 3 deaths.
Right. You know what it was? At, one died at the hospital. 2 died in
And I was meditating and, you know, and all of a sudden it came into my awareness that I was like, well, James Ray is no longer going to be a millionaire. He's going to lose all his money again. And his claim to fame is that, you know, he was a millionaire, he lost everything, and he became a millionaire again. And I was like, wow, where is this coming from? Why is this coming into my meditation, you know, into my awareness? Because I'm not really actively studying with him or, you know, anything at the time. And I have a lot of appreciation for things that I learned from the things I attended with James. And so, you know, it was very interesting. And then, like I said, within less than 2 weeks, then I heard about the incident. And so, you know, it is interesting that it helps, you know, would someone say, oh, was that prophecy? Or, and I don't know that he is not a millionaire any longer.
He's not a millionaire. I mean, I saw it in one of the, there's a whole thing that he has lost a significant amount of his money in preparing for this trial.
And
you know,
that
I won't
is,
say lost it.
I mean, I believe that, right, and I think I saw at one point in time he had to submit financial statements because he couldn't bail himself out of jail in the beginning, you know, that, so, it is, you know, just allowing ourselves to open up to whatever comes in and not question or judge it necessarily. I mean, I did kind of go, wow, why is this coming in now? You know,
well,
and
that's discernment. I mean, you know, why is something happening?
Sure.
You know, you want to know, especially for somebody that, you know, you have a connection with and, you know, especially
and
someone.
And I'm sure we've,
go ahead.
We've all had experiences like that with people closer in our lives, right?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Mothers and children or, you know, fathers and children or grandparents. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, someone passes over and
you know it.
And you know it or those kinds of things. So I believe because we're, I'll just speak for myself.
Okay.
For me, because I open to give and receive from my heart openly without judgment, I tap into a flow of information. And
absolutely.
And it allows me to choose how to move in my life. And to really continue to be in that heart space and share with others information. You know, sometimes when I do private sessions with people, it wasn't, you know, but in the last few weeks I'm working with someone and I get into session and right away I was like, I hope you don't mind, but in your, we have to talk about your son's DNA. And she's like, what do you mean? I mean, and she wasn't coming to me for a DNA session, you know? And I said to her, there are some things in your son's DNA that need to be cleared and need to be repaired and need to be harmonized. And she said to me, she said, this is confidential. Nobody knows this, but he has XYZ, which affects his DNA. She's like, who are
How
you?
Did
She's
you
like,
know
let me, let me look at your eyes. Who are you?
Well, because, I mean, somebody on the third dimension that only still has two strands going, really, it is like, you know, you're not from this. Because what I'm starting to recognize is the strands coming on, because they are our galactic heritage, we are becoming alien to the people on the planet in the sense of, because who are you? How could you do that? People can't do that. It's like, well, of course people can that are working in a more expanded frequencies, which is what the heart gives us the opportunities to do. And how do we get there? Through righteous living, you know, through the virtues of, like you said, compassion and discernment instead of judgment and, you know, and limitation of, you know, criticism or, you know, any kind of polarity. It happens in the unified field. Hey, listen, I want you, can you give some contact information?
Sure. You can check me out on Facebook, Dawn Leader, I think you can search by name, right? And
well,
it's
yeah, but
Leader,
the one
just like...
From Wisconsin, right? So,
yeah, from Wisconsin. Okay, good.
Okay, because sometimes there are people with more than one, I don't know, so, yeah, sorry.
I think it's from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, so... or you just go to Goldie's Facebook
I'll put something
find
up
me
today,
there, right?
And if you comment, then they can just, you know.
Right.
It's right on our top page, so exactly.
Perfect.
Okay.
And,
yeah, of course.
They can email me at dmleader@earthlink.net or give a call at 262-470-1436. And, you know, let's chat and see what comes up.
You know, I asked Dawn to just introduce herself tonight because I want my audience to get to know her. We're going to be doing DNA sessions live on the air. There's so much to grow from with Dawn, but like I said, every third Thursday, Dawn will be a part of the show. She might be part of shows where, I mean, her beloved Jeff, you know, writes books and he's fabulous. But every third Thursday, we're doing DNA talks and expanded dimension talks and experiences. So, you know, tune in, get to know her. She's incredible. Her personal sessions will rock your world because the DNA is the blueprint. Change the DNA and everything changes. Everything changes, but in beautiful ways. It's got to be experienced. We're going to discuss more of it because, you know, she's playing in my DNA. So, you know, Goldie, I'm broadcasting it. it's 10:10. I went 10 minutes over, but I couldn't help it. It was all, I wanted to talk. It always feels good with you, Dawn, always. And I want to invite everybody. Dawn will actually be back next week because I'm having the Mastermind group on, and it is my 5-year anniversary birthday show. So come on, say happy birthday, share a story, and share the experience of the Mastermind group because, I mean, we have Stephanie as a part of the Mastermind group, Jim Wirtz, you know, we really, Janine, Kimmel, we got a great group. We got a great group, and I would recommend after you listen to it, start your own M&M group because there's something truly powerful when you're doing intentions and having the support of a group, a weekly group or biweekly, whatever works for you, supporting you energetically with those intentions. So that's next week. I love you all. I love you, Dawn. I love you, Blog Talk Radio, because you never get upset with me when I go past 10 o'clock. And it's been amazing. I love it. You remind me of just a fireside chat with Dawn Leader.
I love you,
you know,
guys,
we'll have
too.
The occasional asteroid, but tonight was just, well, simply divine. I enjoy you thoroughly, my friend, my sister, my beloved. Thoroughly, I enjoy you. And I will, you're most welcome. I will speak to everybody soon. I'm going to pop on Facebook and give a little blog, and if you can, Dawn, just to comment so they can have a link to you, that would be outstanding. And then we'll talk to everybody next week. I love you all. Have a great week. Namaste, everyone.